Coming to you from Orange County, California, this is the Jug Life Podcast with Max Ada and Chad Wesley Smith. Hey everybody, what is up? Chad Wesley Smith here. Another episode of the Jug Life Podcast. I'm joined, as I am most of the time, by marvelous Max Montana. How are you doing, buddy?
I am doing very well.
And our guest today, living the puppies and PRs lifestyle.
Oh, good one.
Alexandra, no pants, but now she wears them, LaChance.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
That was a good one.
Well, that was great.
Well done.
Yeah, the kids still got
the magic.
It.
The magic is still there.
Yeah, I feel it bubbling back up. All right, so we're up here in Oakland. Your new residence in your vagabond life of exercising and dog momming all across the United States.
Yes.
Let's take a step back, I guess, before we talk about your training and what you're doing now and how you got to living here, competing in weightlifting, being coached by magnanimous Max Montana.
How I got into weightlifting after CrossFit?
Sure. Or even how you got to CrossFit before that.
Oh, man. Okay. So...
I don't know if our listeners know you.
Probably not. So I was a gymnast my whole life. I did gymnastics all the way through college, age 21. And I trained like 7 hours a day. So I graduated college and then had 7 extra hours a day. Didn't know what to do with myself. So I just started training.
University of Arkansas? Woo Pig Suey?
Yes, Woo Pig Suey. Gym backs. Yeah. So I had all this time, so I just went to the gym and still just, like, worked out for 7 hours, just doing anything I could think of. And I got into fitness modeling, and then I'd, like, go to photo shoots, and, like, none of the girls could do, like, push-ups or planks, and it was really frustrating that nobody could do anything. Everyone was just shredded.
And they used all the fake weights, and did you use fake weights in your photo shoots?
No, I was so strong. I was really fit back then. I trained a lot.
We hosted a couple, our first gym location. We probably had 6 or 7 muscle and fitness photo shoots that they did there. And it was very disheartening when I found out about the fake weights.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's a weird thing. Like, and everyone, like, ugh. Everyone's so hungry all the time. It's, like, really sad. But, yeah, my legs were always way too big for those photo shoots. So I always had to just, like, do hours and hours of bodyweight lunges. And, like, I don't know. It was a lot of training for photo shoots aren't that fun. So then I found CrossFit. And then CrossFit was really fun, and I got really good at it really fast, but, like, too fast. I didn't really have a coach, and I trained 7 hours a day for that, too. And then I kind of, like, broke my back. Not really, but I got stuck, bent over sideways for 5 days.
First year of competitive CrossFit, you won the Northeast Regionals, correct?
North Central.
North Central.
Yeah.
That was close.
Yeah. What year was this?
2014.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So I've graduated, I got my master's degree 2013, I think, 2012 or 2013. And then Arkansas was really cool. I stayed there for like 7.5 years. Then I met a girl at a photo shoot who was trying to make the games also. She asked me to move with her to Missouri, to St. Louis, and live with her and train with her, try to make the games with her. And I was like, CrossFit's really cool. I don't know what I'm doing, so maybe I'll go do it with someone that's trying to be really good. So I just, like, packed up, fresh out of school, and I just moved there and then made the games. We made the games together. It was really cool. But then I got really hurt right after that because I didn't understand, like, deloading or anything. I was just always, like, maxing out all the time. Weird. Like,
standard.
You kind of get it. yeah.
That's why they call him Max.
Solid. Solid move.
Yeah.
He was born Frank Ada. And they're like, no, too many Maxes, so they changed his name.
So, yeah, I really liked CrossFit, but my back became way too injured to cycle heavy weight over and over again and pair it with running and stuff. And I really like technical aspect of, like, anything, like, really like gymnastics. I was very technical. So I really liked the technical aspect of weightlifting. And so I just kind of switched over to that and then found Max.
Well, Team Juggernaut has saved many young women from the world of CrossFit.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. We're almost like a home for wayward girls that are...
CrossFit refugees.
CrossFit refugees, yeah. It's like a,
like a battered women's house, but they're battered by.
Wow,
that's the opposite. I was thinking more like an X-Men scenario.
Okay, that too.
That's hilarious.
So, when you first started getting into CrossFit, did you think, oh, this is like just like gymnastics? This is gonna like be something I can do, or is it more like? Like, were you, like, into the competitive side of it more, or were you just into the, like, I just loved working out and this satisfied that?
I really liked working out. When I started CrossFit, I didn't know there was a competitive side to it. And I was just like, oh, there's chicks with muscle.
Did you talk to anyone who did CrossFit? Because normally they'll tell you everything about CrossFit.
Yeah, there was, there's a guy where I got my supplements from, and he kept trying to get me to switch over from fitness modeling to try to come do CrossFit. And I kept saying, like, I wasn't in shape enough to, like, do a class. So I like trained myself to try to prepare myself for my first day of CrossFit. But yeah,
the on-ramp class?
No, I never did the on-ramp class.
Oh, for the first class.
Just for the first class, because I didn't want to be out of shape.
Destroyed everyone in the class.
It was okay. It was good. but I didn't know there was like high levels of competition. Like I'd never watched the game. I had never watched the CrossFit games, like, and then I went to it, but like I had never seen it before that. So I don't really know what to expect. But yeah, I always want to be as good as I can be at whatever I'm doing. So once I got into CrossFit, I obviously wanted to be as good as I could be. And then found out like you can actually compete. And then of course I wanted to compete. So
how far did you end up getting in it?
I went to the CrossFit games.
I know that. Like, what do you know what, like, you placed or?
Oh, terrible. I had no coach. I was so hurt.
You were in the games, but out of coach.
Yeah. That was like a story. We don't have to talk about that on here. I kind of didn't know what I was doing there. I also, that was a point when I didn't really know anything about nutrition or hydration. The games is several days of competition, and you're outside for several hours a day in the hot, hot sun. I think there was one of the days, it was like 120 degrees down in the stadium, and they made us wear pants because the equipment was so hot. We weren't allowed to compete unless we wore pants so we wouldn't get burned. I didn't eat anything. I didn't eat back then. So I did not survive the games very well with no food. I also drank so much ocean water on the first day because that was my first time swimming in open water. I like threw up for the next 2 days nonstop and could not even keep water down. So it was a super rough games experience. I didn't get last. I did beat some people.
Okay.
But I was, like, crawling on all fours for many of the workouts because I was, like, dying. It was an experience. But it was cool. I did win regionals, which was crazy. Yeah. But that was, like, it's a very contained, like, it's an air conditioning. Like, mm-hmm. You know the workouts ahead of time.
It's really easy. That's what I've heard.
It's, winning like, super, super really, different.
Most people say it's one of the easiest things to do.
It's super different.
And you were in gymnastics, you were All-American, yeah?
I was All-American. Mm-hmm.
What was your balance beam? Balance beam?
So I was always a power athlete. So I was always like floor or vault were my best events. And then I just happened to crush it on beam at nationals.
What was your floor routine song?
Oh gosh, it was like AC/DC for the last year. 1 year it was like a belly dancer. Before that it had always been classical Hungarian music.
Churches, okay.
Yeah, so it was quite the variety. But college, it has to be fun and like, you know. So AC/DC was pretty fun.
Back in Black or what?
Yeah.
Thunderstruck?
Yeah, it was like a huge mashup. It was pretty cool.
All of them. It was cool. All their hit songs.
All in a minute and 20 seconds.
That if you have an AC/DC mashup, that you didn't become a powerlifter instead of a weightlifter, because you could have...
I'm not that strong.
Well, most powerlifting meets are just an AC/DC mashup as well. So
you get
out there, start flipping across the platform, and they'd be pumped.
Yeah. You'd be the most athletic person there by an extraordinary, extraordinary
amount. Max, we know that you hate powerlifting.
Sorry. Well, it's just so true, isn't it?
So now you are the 71 kilo national champion in weightlifting,
mm-hmm.
and just moved up here to the Yay area.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to a lot of like Mac Dre,
E40? No.
I'm at E40.
Federation?
I don't know what those are.
All right. Well, sorry. We'll cue them up for you when we finish.
Should have done my research before this.
Yeah.
Mr. Fab?
I don't know what that is.
You got a lot to learn. Okay. A lot to learn here, kid.
Just give me like a PowerPoint.
Take us through a day in the life of a national champion weightlifter. I'm assuming it's mostly glamour.
Oh, it's so glamorous. Oh my gosh. I wake up with Lady sitting on top of me. She tells me when my Lady's my Rhodesian Ridgeback. She weighs 85 pounds.
I don't think anyone who follows you on Instagram actually knows that you have dogs.
I don't ever talk about them. It's kind of a secret.
You like dogs?
They're okay.
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 Yeah, my dogs wake me up usually like 6:37. And then I program for a couple hours and then I go to the gym for like 10 hours, coach and program. I coach CrossFit and weightlifting. I train for 3 to 4 hours usually in a block somewhere in there. Usually leave the gym around 8:30 or 9, get home, program for a little bit, and then go to bed. We usually take walks throughout that. That's like the fun thing that we do during the day. We do a lot of walks. But yeah, that is my super glamorous day. I also pick up a lot of poop during the day. That's it.
Dog poop mostly?
Mostly dog poop, but it is Oakland.
You are in the Bay Area.
It is Oakland, so, you know. Try to make the world a better place.
Yeah, that's... Well, it's not as glamorous as...
Sorry.
Yeah. As the listeners were
California's expensive. Yeah. My dogs eat a lot of food.
So you've been a weightlifter primarily for, what, 2.5, 3 years now?
So this is my second year with Juggernaut. This is my second year of being just a weightlifter. The year before I joined Juggernaut, I was doing like half CrossFit, half weightlifting, which was a terrible idea. Like 4 hours of CrossFit and then 2 hours of weightlifting is not the best decision I've ever made. And then, yeah, that was when I had started weightlifting. So, like three years.
What has been your biggest challenge, you think, making the transition CrossFit to weightlifting, and just what you struggle with the most as a weightlifter?
I do really miss doing aerobic work. A certain amount of aerobic work makes me feel really good and actually I think makes me lift better and move better and feel better and recover better. But finding like that line of how much is too much or how much is not enough, because I've done too much and I've done not enough and felt terrible both ways. And I've done aerobic work my whole life. Like as a gymnast, I did hours and hours of cardio trying to be skinny enough to look a certain way in my leotard. And then CrossFit, aerobic work was always my weakness. So I spent a lot of time doing that. So now as a weightlifter.
I didn't mean to press play. Oh, yeah. I'm just getting the E40 ready for you.
So I think like finding the right amount of aerobic work to keep me happy and keep me feeling good.
So Max and I were talking about an episode we did earlier, and you and I were talking about at the gym, some of the, I think, really beneficial things about CrossFit as it carries over to weightlifting. We're talking about overhead strength and handstand pushups and handstand walks helping you in the jerk. But the aerobic work stuff, I think, is a very overlooked part of a strength athlete's powerlifting, weightlifting, strongman, whatever their base. Mm-hmm. So as the coach, Max, have you noticed with our CrossFit refugees that they have a much higher work capacity?
Yeah. Always. They always have a much higher work capacity. And there's kind of two things to it. One is like the mental side, which is like they're always just more tolerant of doing work that, you know, like most people, like, you know, you get to triples or something like that in the snatch or cleans complexes that add up to 5 or 6 reps. It's like they just kind of do it and have no problem with it, even though it sucks. Whereas a lot of like people who just did weightlifting will just, you know, bitch and moan about it.
Three reps is cardio.
Yeah. Like, we've never heard that joke. But then the physical side, for sure, they always have, pretty much always have better work capacity. Unless there's some total freak that just came out of nowhere that was able to do that stuff. Like, I don't think I've seen that. It's always CrossFitters have way better work capacity, for sure. And with Alex, too, like, she kind of was really dead on with, like, you know, if she does some aerobic stuff, it's really beneficial. And I think that's, like, definitely overlooked in earlier parts of the training cycle when people are not doing, you know, when they have a chance to really do that stuff more. Right before meets, you know, it's probably not necessary. It could be detrimental. But, like, the fact that she's in tune enough to know that, like, if she's doing this stuff, she's going to feel better is a big thing. And I think that, you know, obviously her vast experience of doing those sports gives her that edge. But, like, the CrossFitters always seem to be able to do that. Grasp that better than weightlifters, or right. People come in straight from weightlifting.
Yeah, I think for the listeners, like, the sort of takeaway from it is you don't need to become a triathlete today when you're mm-hmm. when you're listening, but, like, having some aerobic capacity, including some aerobic work, is going to over time build your work capacity.
Yeah,
in the short term, can help you recover better from training, but not when you first start out. If you know, for sure. You know, you're a super heavyweight powerlifter, and you're like, well, I heard about aerobic work on Jug Life, so I'm going to start putting it in. The first week, you're going to feel like shit. Yeah. The second week, you're still going to feel like shit, maybe slightly less. You know, but 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks into it, then you're going to kind of hit that tipping point, and now the aerobic work you're doing, rather than it making you feel run down, is going to make you feel recovered. Mm-hmm. And it's like, once you get it in, then it's way easier to keep it in than it is to implement it the first time in the training. And yeah, I think that stuff is very overlooked by weightlifters, powerlifters, whoever wants to do it. So what would you say is your greatest strength as a weightlifter?
I think, like, coming from gymnastics where we had to compete with, like, cameras in our faces, I think, like, I'm totally nervous in competition for sure, but I think, like, ex-gymnasts compete well. I think we handle the stress pretty well and, like, learn how to use those feelings to just, like, move weight instead of just, like, get in our heads and freak out and, like, miss reps.
So if, let's say you're at SEC championships for gymnastics, mm-hmm. how many people would be there watching?
I'm trying to think the most. I think the most we've ever had, like, in a stadium was, like, 16,000. I think it was usually around probably 10,000
people. So it's, like, pretty much the same as, like, American Open 3.
Yeah, totes. Yeah. Especially Sunday afternoon when I compete.
Yeah. Sunday's always the biggest day. Yeah. You usually see 10, 12 or so there. That's what I would say.
Dozens. There's dozens of us.
There's a dozen. Maybe 12. Maybe 12.
Now, as a gymnast, was that something that you felt like you had to develop over time? Like, sort of the... So I think there's a skill to competing.
Yeah, I was never not nervous.
Yeah.
And for CrossFit too, I threw up before every workout. Actually, I was so nervous. Like, I get nervous, like, to the point of where it's really hard for me to breathe.
Do you feel that nervous in weightlifting?
Yeah, that's why I yell. Oh, so wow. The more if I'm yelling, it's because I'm, like, freaking out, super nervous.
Just yelling the nerves out.
Yeah, but then I just, like, give it a slap and then I'm good to go. But I'm still, like, trying not to throw up.
Yeah.
You know, if you were to, like, stand up a jerk and then throw up right then, that's a viral video right there.
That's true.
True.
Yeah.
Think of the followers.
Yeah. Weightlift your pukes on platform. They do it in the deadlift.
Oh, my gosh. Standing up. Right? Just the projectile.
It's like rep one, the guy's vomiting, and he's like, no, yeah, it's already happening. So I'm feeling good. So he just goes, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 reps, every one of them. Just throwing up.
It's so gross.
You also wonder, like, how many gallons of water or milk or whatever you
so much stuff's
up.
Coming
did you,
out.
Did you drink before the deadlift?
Well, if this is like a local USAPL powerlifting meet, you've had
a bag of sushi.
Yeah, half a dozen bagels, some lox, 3 tubes of Oreos.
Yeah, you have at least 1 to 2.5 pounds of... Sour Patch Kids.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
And that's just between your first and second squat.
You know how exhausting 9 repetitions squat, bench, and deadlift are? That's 26,000 calories being burned every second. There's no other way to fuel your body than with every single piece of food item you could imagine. Bag of sushi, everything. Yard-long Snickers bar.
Where does one buy a bag of sushi?
At the gas station.
Yeah.
Is it a plastic bag? Like the Ziploc kinds?
Ziploc bag. Probably his mom packed it, or her mom packed it.
With Sharpie marker on it.
I made you sushi. Here you go.
So if you could go back to a younger Alex a chance and maybe give her some advice. I don't know. Pick whatever time you want. 5 years, 10 years.
Any point, like, yeah, dude, eat. I would have eaten, like...
Interesting.
I know. I really only probably started eating the last couple years. Maybe the last 4 years, I think. Before that, I didn't eat very much.
Yeah, this is... I don't know if you want to talk about this.
Yeah, we can.
We're going there?
That's fine.
Okay. I'll leave it up to you if you want to or not.
Yeah, I mean, I had a pretty bad eating disorder as a gymnast. I was always, like, really thick. And as a gymnast, your score, like, even if you move really well, even if your skill level is really high, it's a very, like, aesthetic thing. You have to have a certain look, especially in college. And I've just, like, been, like, pretty jacked my whole life, no matter what. And I had a lot of muscle, so I was always... I'm like a head taller than everybody, and then I always just was bigger. So, especially in college, kind of tried whatever I could do to get tinier and kind of fit the look that I was, you know, supposed to be. So I was bulimic for 9 years. It was a very long and ongoing thing. But I still trained through it. Like, I performed well enough. But then even going into CrossFit and, like, being at the games, like, I still didn't really understand how food was important or, like, essential for performance. And then my later years of CrossFit, I kind of started figuring it out. And then now as a weightlifter where there's zero emphasis on how you look, CrossFit, everybody has abs. Everyone's naked all the time.
Key emphasis there, folks. Zero emphasis on your looks.
I don't know what you're on, but
yeah, it's true.
So yeah, for weightlifting, it was like, well, do you want to be good at weightlifting? Do you want to move weight? Like, what's the point of lifting if you're not going to lift, you know, like, if you're not going to be lifting well? So I kind of just, it was a super long process. But finally I kind of like figured it out, and now I eat for performance. And
was there like a key moment or like something you could pinpoint?
When I died at the games, I was like, damn, I could be doing so much better. Like, I was just like watching everyone and they're eating like pulled chicken and sweet potatoes. And I was like, oh, I haven't eaten since yesterday. And everyone was just like eating food the whole time, and they were like drinking shakes and they were like drinking Pedialyte, and I found out everyone's getting IVs, and I didn't know any of that stuff. I didn't have anyone there telling me, but I that was a point where I didn't realize, you know, I was always told as a gymnast like to not eat protein. Like, I had skim milk for breakfast one time and my nutritionist told me to switch it to orange juice because protein, you know, would make me bigger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's a great start. So yeah, I just didn't realize how important protein was, which is now like protein's like a huge thing for me. But yeah, I trained really, really hard to get there, and you can't get through multiple workouts a day without eating. And that was the point where I was like, well, if I'm going to be here, if I'm going to train hours and hours a day, I need to like survive a competition, and that's going to require food. But that still was like, that was where I like figured it out. And then it was still a process of like, okay, now we're going to start eating and our body's going to look different and going to put on more muscle, 'cause now I'm finally eating. And it was a thing.
And you got connected with like different coaches or different programs along that process. And now you kind of,
for nutrition or.
Yeah. And
yeah, I've kind of bounced around everything kind like, because it was such a thing with me and food. If it's too strict, it makes me kind of freak out.
Right.
I want some guidance, but at the same time, I want to be able to make all of my decisions myself with regards to what I put in my mouth. So I have some macros that I've kind of figured out by tweaking different things that I've, you know, different people have told me, but at the end of the day, like if I want to eat something extra, I will always eat something extra and then like figure it out later.
Yeah.
But it's been a process, but.
And you kind of manage it all yourself now. Yeah.
Yeah. I've tried working with other people and I just can't, I'm not going to stick to it.
Yeah.
Like when I was told like, it's okay to go to bed hungry. I'm like, I did that for my whole life. I'm not doing that anymore. Like, I just am not willing to do that anymore. I don't want to obsess over food ever again. So, but yeah, I did a huge, huge, huge like reverse, I guess a bulk or whatever, reverse diet or whatever, and got to a point where I was eating like almost 4,000 calories. And I think since then, I can kind of just like get away with like very eating a lot. Like I can I can eat probably a lot more than most people and maintain my weight.
Nice.
So it's makes me happy to eat. But yeah, but it's been a process.
So the other week with when Maddie Forberg was our guest, we implemented what I think is sure to be a hit segment.
Oh, this is good.
Like of it's going down in the DMs.
Oh gosh. Because
I know as a I myself as a
I have heard some of yours.
Blue check verified international sex symbol. I have some things I could share, but I feel like you maybe have a few more. So when a gentleman,
that's a great word for that,
is trying to approach you in the DMs, do you have some really favorite weirdest ones that stick out?
Today, someone was really concerned about my Vigna.
Oh, the Vigna.
My Vigna. V-I-G-N-A.
Nice.
They said I was going to damage it. So I
show them your box.
Show
me your box.
So I really appreciated that concern. That might be my favorite one to date because it was just so funny and so many people have laughed about it today. So
what
it makes me happy.
What part of India do you think that guy's from? I'm assuming.
I couldn't tell. The picture was so little.
Are there any like rodents that people request you to step on or anything like that?
God, the watermelon thing is very common.
You get a watermelon? What's
the squishing the watermelon between your legs or squishing other people's faces between your legs. That's a human thing.
They're big on that.
Yeah.
A lot of people ask like, you know, can you carry them?
Oh,
them
up? It's like, you just lifted this. Can you lift me? I weigh this much. It's like, it's weird.
Maybe they're just really bad at math. You just lifted 264 pounds. I weigh 112. Is that the same number?
I don't know. I think most people try to get me to respond by saying something about my dogs first. Because if you say something something nice about my dogs, you will get a response. But then when the next one is like, you know, not about my dogs,
I can see that.
Then you get
blocked. I love
that
everyone knows their name now.
Yeah.
But you get a response for the first, you know, message, and then the second one you get blocked. Because, I don't know, I don't have enough time in my day to deal with that stuff.
So watermelon crushing.
Face crushing.
Yeah. Face crushing.
Carrying. Do you have like a rate for piggyback rides? It's expensive here in the Bay Area.
I haven't asked for
very expensive.
Dirty Fleo shorts are very popular as well.
Oh, wow.
Socks. Dirty socks and my used Fleo shorts that have very specifically not been washed after training.
Have you been, are they offering money? Has anyone offered like good money? Like
where you kind of have to pause for a second.
You take a second.
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Like,
what's good money for your, like,
that's
self-respect?
Good money is in the eye of the beholder.
Oh, my gosh. No, there has not been a good enough price for me to
I did not sell my deadlift socks for $500.
No,
that didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
No.
So just a word out there to some of you guys looking at the Vigna guys. You may want to start offering a little more money for those. To raise those rates a bit.
Bay Area ain't cheap, folks.
Yep. No kidding.
So, upcoming, we've got AO2.
Mm-hmm.
Goals, things like that for the rest of the year for weightlifting?
When is the year I don't even actually know what the season is.
The year ends December 31st.
Okay. I mean, I want to...
That's just every year ends that. There's no weightlifting year anymore. There used to be, but now it's just 1,000 meets.
Yeah, just all spread out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to make a team at some point. I think that's my goal. I've never really had any specific goals on for any sport that I've done. I've never had a goal of winning anything, or it's always just been like me just performing the best that I can. Actually, I guess I would say I always hope that my performance reflects my training. Like, if I train a certain way, I always hope that the competition reflects how the training went, and that, you know, I think I deserve that.
Well, you've been on the
that's good
run of PRs.
I know.
At least for the last 2 days. My back works
now. It's yeah. Well, even like the last, since I joined Juggernaut, I think I've PR'd every single competition.
A lot of pressure you put on me.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's pretty good.
I'm pretty sure good. I've PR'd.
I remember the first camp in Oakland, you were greedy with the PRs.
My gosh. Well,
everyone was like, save some PRs for the rest of us, Alex. God.
Well, then I died.
Yeah, that wrecked you.
For sure. Yeah, I needed to take 3 months off after that.
You quit. You quit and left for 6 months.
3 months.
Was it three?
3 months. I went.
We missed you, so it felt like six.
Oh, thank you. No, 3 months. I didn't like squat or really move a weight for 3 months, and then came back, and then after a month, that was like back to normal.
I actually feel like that helped you more.
I love that. Yeah. I love something doing that stuff.
I was talking about this the other day. Like, we would all coaches, everybody can acknowledge that it's really important to have like these times for like rest and recovery, you know, and like, oh, you don't have to squat hard all the time. But then I've never seen a single coach have anyone like not squat for 3 months.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, and they would never do it. And they would be like terrified. If anything, it's always like, well, okay, you got 6 months for the next competition. Like, let's take six and like really build up all your strength.
Wall balls were the only squats that I did for those 3 months.
Yeah. Alyssa too. I gave Alyssa a whole month off after Pan Am's to recover. And it's always been better having that in place. Seeing you guys rest, like.
So your muscles didn't fall off?
Yeah.
And I got lean. I got my abs
so
back.
So jacked right now.
I know.
I saw that. You got that vein.
I've had that vein since I was like three. It's an angry vein.
Yeah.
You had a vein when you were three.
I was a very jacked baby.
Oh. Do you have baby pictures of your jackedness?
I probably do.
We can compare. Yeah. We have a baby bodybuilding show. Is that the next?
Rocco's gonna be tough to beat.
Rocco, Princess P. I don't know. That's a tough one. We have yet to see Alex. Polaroid. Upload the Polaroid.
That's it.
Top letter vascularity. So you also do online coaching and stuff for gymnastics and all that.
I do.
Where can people inquire about your services?
AlexandraLachance.com.
AlexandraLachance.com. Mm-hmm. And if they lead off with a dog compliment,
you will have an automatic in for at least one more message.
Where can they follow you otherwise?
NoPantsLachance on Instagram. But you know, I wear pants a lot now. I feel pretty bad about that.
Yeah. Well, and you haven't even gotten to the winter here in the Bay Area. It's very cold here.
Winter pants, LaChance.
Yeah. But. Do you even own a pair of jeans?
I do have one pair of stretchy jeans from Target that I wear to church. That's the only time I wear them.
Only time. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Instagram, max_Ada, on Facebook, or email me max@jtsstrength.com.
And make sure you all check out jcsstrength.com for online coaching, powerlifting, weightlifting, power building, super total, strongman, all that good stuff. We have the AI stuff for powerlifting and power building coming soon for weightlifting and super total as well. And I'm using soon pretty loosely. check out the YouTube 250K book. Since we recently hit 250,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel, and I know that the 1,400 plus videos we have can be a bit overwhelming. I went ahead and curated about 250 of the best videos, over 40 hours of content for you by topic. So you can just, you want to see stuff about squat technique, you click in the table of contents and it shows you all of our best squat technique videos. If you want to see videos about super total or nutrition or making bigger hamstrings or whatever it is, just click in there, you'll find it, all the best stuff, really, probably more than you can handle. It'll send you down many rabbit holes of information. So go ahead and check that out at jtsstrength.com. Subscribe to the YouTube, subscribe to the podcast, leave us a 5-star review, write us something funny or nice. We always appreciate that, and it helps more people find the show. Alex, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks.
You follow me at Chad Wesley Smith or at Juggernaut Training on Facebook and Instagram. And we'll talk to you next week.